Welcome, Talk TKD, episode 10, with special guest, Danny Dowling. The crowd goes wild. So we have pretty much had the summer off. We haven't done one for a little while. It was the summer, had busy, had things to do, jobs to do, people to teach, competitions to try and win, etc. But we are back. We're going to be consistent and getting one out each week. We are here today. It's Sunday and it is Puma Day. Woo! It is our 16th Puma Day. We're in King Edward School in Bath. With, I don't know, how many people do you reckon are down there?
I'm going to say, I guess, 300.
Yeah, between 300 and 400.
I am really bad at predicting groups of people, so that was...
Yeah, pizza there. Yeah. I go with you. I reckon between 300 and 400 people all doing seminars throughout the day. I've done mine, kickboxing.
Yeah, what did you do?
Kickboxing.
You just said that and then I asked you. I wasn't listening.
It's all good. It's all good. But, you know, that's the nature of this podcast. It's on the fly. You know, we just roll with it. And you're doing an Olympic taekwondo kicking seminar later, which kind of... leads us on to kind of, I think, really, like, you're in a unique position in that you've competed a high level ITF style and you've trained for a year or 2 years.
It was about a year and a half. Well, yeah, just over a year, 15 months.
Yeah. With the GB Olympic WTF squad.
Yes.
So you're in a unique position where you can sort of compare the two. Styles of fighting and so like how was that experience?
Tiring.
Yeah.
it was full time, so we're looking at between 25-30 hours a week of training. That's all. Obviously the kicking side is all full contact, any sparring is full contact, so there's always full contact. 3 to 4 times a week will be full contact sparring. Then there's a weights program. We had, well, the GB squad still has one of the top weights coaches in the world. He gets offers from like NBA, that sort of thing. He's ex American football, actually.
Oh, that's quite
interesting.
Cool.
That's so they, you know, they love showing all that off. Duncan is a really, really good coach. So obviously all the coaches are Paul Green. I'm sure you've heard of Paul Green.
I have, yeah.
He is a legend amongst most martial artists for his kicking skills. He's a freak of nature. so it was just all go, hard work. I've never had to go to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon before. But now I do. Well, then I did.
Excellent. So would you say that there's, I'm talking just about the sparring styles.
Okay. Yeah.
The style of kicking. Did you have to change much, a lot, or?
Okay. So, one of the main reasons I was able to do the WTF was because of the addition of the electronic scoring system, which came in around the London 2012 sort of era, where you would have seen a lot more people using front leg. They call it check, but you know, it's side kick.
Yeah.
A lot more front leg stuff. They added points, more points to the head. Got added a few years prior. So the WTF is always adapting with its rules. And one of the big changes was the electronic system, and that has made it more similar to what you would get with an ITF fighter with the front leg or an open kickboxing fighter. That sort of thing. In that respect, it wasn't too different, but. Yeah. There are so many changes I had to make for kicking. I learned so much in the past year about my body and about how to use my body for kicking, which I never even realised before. It's like blew my mind. Just like simple things like, I know we say like when we do turning kick, like don't bend over, you know, you gotta stay upright. But the exact how to and the why was never really put out there, but we picked because the sparring is just mainly legs. We don't have to punch. We don't have to worry about the boxing. So we focus on that kicking so much that we're able to look at, right, this is how it's done. This is why.
Yeah.
And then if I didn't, and if you get it wrong, you do get kicked very hard in the face.
Yeah.
And you do end up kissing Matt. which you don't want. So no. You either
never.
You, no. We either learn the hard way or we learn the scientific way, which sometimes is the hard way, but is the less painful way.
I was scientifically kicked in the face.
Well, yeah,
but yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, yeah. I think particularly saying that, like, because there's no hands, it's, you know, you, but obviously there are hands, but it's, you know, less of an issue that you can focus on. I get, like, this is just how I picture it. It's sort of trying to be like as economic with your movement as is possible, and you could, and being, you know, trying, like, your legs there, it needs to get from there to there, and we need to figure out the fastest way possible. Yeah.
For the sake of the camera, he's doing this.
Yeah. For those just listening to the podcast, don't worry.
Yeah, don't. It's finger pointing. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, but
is
that accurate at all?
Yeah. What was I going to say that was really important that I can't remember what I was going to say now?
Your beard is amazing, Phil.
I wasn't going to say that.
No,
it's not bad. It's pretty good. It's
getting there.
It's getting there. I remember when you first started growing a beard and you couldn't stop stroking
it. Yeah. It was the thinking beard. That's why I just think too much. That's not true.
What you were saying about the economical, that's what I was going to say.
Mm.
Again, with the electronic stuff, because the pressure is measured by a machine, it's calculated, rather than by eye, it always used to be done by eye.
Yeah.
So you, like, if you look back at 2008 and prior, like Olympic Games, it's all back leg, pretty much, all back leg. Back leg, kicking hard.
Yeah.
So because they want the judges to see that it's big impact.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now you can literally stand hip to hip and flick your leg up in such a way that it scores a point.
Really?
And then obviously the other side of that is you could kick someone and break their rib, but if you don't hit with that magnet, you get nothing.
Yeah.
You get nothing. You could break a person in half. You could send them to hospital. You would win. But you would not get that point.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
So it has become more economical because, as well, they've forced, if you stand for 10 seconds without engaging, you're going to get what they call kyongo, which is warning. You're just going to get warning. Kyongo. You're going backwards. Kyongo. Attack, engage. They're really hot on it, which I wouldn't mind seeing in the ITF because there is a lot of standing around sometimes in the ITF. But obviously you can kind of default out of it by blitz punching.
Yeah.
Which you can't do. Obviously, like, kicking is more strenuous generally, isn't it? Like, people get tired very, very quickly doing a lot of kicking. So they're more likely to want to slow it down. But then they've got a ref going, engage, go. And trying to kick.
Yeah.
You know? You are trying to be a lot more economical. And it is a game. It's by cutting out the boxing to the head, it's almost like it's more chess.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the ITF isn't technical sparring, because obviously, I know it. But it's, if you are an inch out of place, you can get knocked out. That is a horrible feeling. When you're in the ring with someone, and then, boom, you take, like, even some people get knocked out with a toe to the chin, because they just don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, boom, oh, they're down. It's like, wow, if he was just an inch back, he wouldn't have been hit, and he would have been fine. And he could have won. It's a very stressful situation in the ring. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
Which is not as stressful in the ITF ring, I don't find it as stressful.
Do you think maybe that's just because you're more used to ITF? Because I would think if you were a WTF person all your life, and then you said, right, ITF, and then you're thinking, punch me in the head.
I know what you mean.
Just different.
The one of the biggest times where I found it stressful fighting WTF was when they go into a big long low stance, which sounds really strange. Yeah. You think, well, how can they move? But these WTF fighters train their explosive stuff so much, and they could be 2 meters away, half squatting to the ground, you know, almost dragging their butt along the floor, and then suddenly their literally knees are around your neck.
Yeah.
And that is horrible. And it's when you see someone do that, take up this stance, this big long wide stance, and their hands are out in front and they're edging at you, you're like,
well, how do I do? If I go in too hard, he's going to spin kick me in the face, I'm going to get knocked out. If I don't go in, he's going to come at me. If I don't go in, then the ref might have a go at me for not doing anything. If I play with my foot, he might take a chance, he might jump in and punch. And then that's when I'm just stressing out, because I can't just blitz at him with my hands. I'm like, well, what's my option? I don't know what my option is. Stress. And then that's when the stress kicks in.
Interesting. Who's the hardest dude that you fought?
Oh, Stephen Lopez.
That would do it, that name.
Stephen Lopez,
For those that maybe don't follow WTF, I think Stephen is the most successful WTF player.
He's 5 times world champion, 3 times Olympic gold medalist. Those 5 world championships weren't consecutive, and they're every other year.
That was not every year, that was in a
12-year period. He's about 38 now, but I think he still fights.
I fought
him last year in Greece. From what I heard, he fights minus 80. He diets from 90 for his tournaments.
10 kilos.
Yeah. So if he weighs in the day before, which he did. Or actually, I heard he weighed in 2 days before, but I don't know how, or I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I fought him, he would have been a good 85. And at the time, I was struggling to stay at 77.
Wow.
And he's very tall as well. I'm very tall, but he's taller. And he's a lot wider as well. He's a beast. And obviously, being a fully grown man, you know, coming up to 40 years old, he's a fully grown man. Tell you what, the first thing he did, front leg checked me, and we kind of clashed. And I thought I got kicked by a brick wall. And then he punched me, and like we kind of come in, boom, he gave him the chest punch, scored it. It was a good punch, but I've never been hit with a punch so hard in my life.
Crikey.
And even with the chest guard on, I was leaning on it. I was like, this is the first round of 3. Ow. It was horrible. He's the tougher. He is just toughness.
Toughness personified.
I think the best, most competitive tough fighter that I fought there, because he's getting older, he is starting to I think he's struggling to maintain top 16, top 32. He's kind of struggling with that now. But the other tough fighter I fought is Damon Sampson. He comes second at the world championships this year. He is just a tank. He's not as big, he's not as strong as Stephen Lopez, but he won't go backwards.
He just goes forward,
and I'm like, how are you going forward? The other thing is really funny. He sweats a lot, right? Two minutes into a warm up, he is dripping.
So if he
clinches you, he's putting about 2 kilos of wet on you. For the rest of the fight, you're just like whipping sweat up. He's like, oh my god! If he missed you with his foot, you get a bit of sweat in the eye. Oh Christ, salty eye! It's horrible. But he is so strong.
I tell you what, he might have got a silver in the world championships, but he's got a gold medal beard.
Oh yeah, wow. He does. His beard is on point.
As a beard enthusiast myself. David Sanson, if you ever listen to this, I'm a massive fan of your fighting. I'm as big a fan of your beard as well.
Someone else has a really good beard. Got one of the guys he lives with, Tom Smith.
His
beard is on point.
Yeah.
He put up a video. He put up a picture the other day of him on Facebook, like Happy National Beard Day, and it was like trim.
Nice.
It must be the barbers they go to in Manchester. I can tell you. I know where it is. I can show you at some time.
There we go. Maybe I have to get like. If I get my beard cut there, will I get like special kicking powers that like these guys progress?
Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. I'm shaving.
I'll come out like. Hang on, 7:20. Landed the Swiss. My beard and walk off into the sunset.
And if you don't stroke your beard, everything would have just twanged apart. You've got to remember the beard stroke.
Damon Sanson sounds a little bit like Samson with his beard, the biblical story that got cut, and all his or is it his ponytail or something like that got cut and he lost all his powers. Basically nobody cut his beard, nobody cut Damon Sanders' beard. We need him for our country.
You know what's funny as well is
it's kind of turned into
talk beards. if you ever go to like the Grand Prix, which they always hold it every year in Manchester at least once, right? On the big screen they'll have the fighters, and obviously Damon's, what's he like, top four in the world now, so he's he's in all the Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
And they show the picture of the athletes, and his picture's in without a beard.
Oh, really?
And I tell you what, the first time I was like, who's that? Yeah. Literally, who is that? Because like, without my glasses, I can't read it.
Yeah,
I can see this guy, and I'm like, who is that? Mate, who's that? Oh, it's Damon. I'm like, what?
Say what?
Yeah, what? It's like, oh, that's actually what he looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. No, wicked, wicked. Yeah, so what are your goals now? Ooh. Obviously, we've got you back. Come back to the light side. WTF. I'll tell you what, actually,
last bit about the WTF guys. Mm. It is mega competitive, and that usually brings out the worst of people. But the WTF group, they are so cool. Like everyone that I met is so cool as well. And one of the other GB athletes, Muhammad Cho.
Yeah,
he's from. Oh man, Cho's gonna, if he sees this, gonna punch me. He's from one of the African countries. I can't remember which one, but he speaks French, and he's obviously lived in France
North African.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. And he's lived in France as well, and his fiancée is French, and I think, yeah. So he knows a lot of the French-speaking African fighters as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's...
Bonjour, Cho.
Yeah. So there's a... He has that friendship, and he has a friendship with all the French team. Right. So through him, we've been able to, like, kind of meet and get to know them more.
Yeah.
And they're all so cool.
Yeah.
Really cool people. Stephen Lopez.
The French?
Yeah. Really cool group.
They really?
Yeah, I know.
Joking. Joking, I'm sure. Yeah.
They're all really cool. Yeah, that's wicked. They are really cool guys, and they're a good bunch. And I met the head of the WTF as well. I met him. Oh, I can't remember his name.
It's lucky. Yeah. You should really stay definitely stay with the idea. If you go back and be like, all right, lads. We're like, remember me? Apparently not.
But, not many people do get to shake hands with the WTF presence. That was a really cool thing. He is a really cool guy as well. Like, I had to read the Athlete's Oath for the Grand Prix last year.
Wow, that's quite an honour.
Yeah, oh no, 2013 it was, yeah. Mm. So it was me and one of the other guys, Asia.
Mm.
And when I went to hold the microphone in the wrong hand, and he was like, oh no, right hand up. Sorry, sir. Yeah, oh, sorry. No. Something. But he was cool about it, and he was, he laughed. So it's like, they're all cool guys, and women.
Yeah.
They're all, really cool bunch. So the WTF, they are cool. They are really cool.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, so now we've got you back.
Back to the ITF.
What's the plan?
Well, hoping, fingers crossed, calories providing, that I can get down to the ITF fighting weight of 78. Which, what is up with that, by the way? 80 is fine. Where did 78 come from, guys? Sort it.
It's because they added the heavier
weight. 87 is fine.
85. Plus minus 85, minus 78, minus 70. Yeah.
I mean, when I found out about that, when I come back, I was like, really? I just spent like a year getting up to 80.
And drop it now.
Well, I kind of, I went a little bit past it.
A little bit. you tell them what you want, but I know.
a few weeks back, I weighed myself finally after a few months of not weighing myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to the gym a lot, doing some weights, and clocked in. Around 85, 86.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Bit to cut then.
Yeah. And as any other fighter will know that, you have your weight. You know your weight that you fight. For me, it's 78 for the ITF. So I'm not fighting 85. There's no point. No. I might do outside of majors, so I don't have to cut every time. But for majors, it's going to be 78. So I'm looking to get down to 78 for the December, is it, trials for next year's stuff?
Yeah, December 6th, apparently. December 6th is the trials for the Euros in Finland next year.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you meant the trials are in Finland. I was like, gone. No chance.
No. Trials December 6th, the day after my supposed title fight.
Okay, we'll
see. Leave that for another day, conversation. Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, you're only not allowed to do a fight within a three-month... Is it a three-month period?
Mm.
Within the group you've just done the full contact with. So if the ITF don't...
the ITF won't mind at all, but...
they're all right.
But no, I'm And considering a year out of taekwondo competition.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because they've got the World Cup next year.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Euros at the end of October,
uh-huh.
and then the World Cup is the same time next year. But so I might spend that time in the year. But I've got my British title fight December 5th.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then just work on the kickboxing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's I kind of forgot that we're recording this really. But yeah, I'll figure that out. And,
I mean, you know, everyone,
to coaches and see what the plan is. But
yeah, I was in the same sort of position when I come back from WTF. I was like, well. Do I keep fighting WTF? I enjoy it.
Mm.
I could keep fighting WTF, or I could come back to ITF, or I could do something else. Mm. You know, like it seems like with ITF Taekwondo seems to push people into loads of different mediums.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a good platform. Like you can go different places.
It's
from
a really
it. Like,
good base.
Yeah,
I think it's a great
base. Like if you got that sidekick and straight punch etc., you can go off to WTF. You like you did. You do what I did. Go full contact.
Yeah.
You could do your mat kickboxing. Yeah. You know, there's so many different options.
Yeah, yeah.
So
learn how to hug people, get in a cage, you know.
that's all my plan as well. That's my plan, yeah. No, when I get, like, sort of close to retiring from, like, international taekwondo, like, just working with jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. Never too late. Jason David Frank. He was in the cage at 37 years old.
I'm not going to be that old. But, you know.
If anyone doesn't know who Jason David Frank is, just
Google.
Wow, yeah. But we should. He's a really good martial artist. But yeah, so I'm looking to do trials. I'm thinking 2016 I'll fight ITF.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking,
see how it goes. Oh, really?
Be done.
Retire.
Well, stop fighting. Yeah, like doing all that sort of stuff. He's really surprised. Anyone who's not watching, he's got a surprise face. I'm not keen to do another X amount of years at 78. I want to...
Right.
Anyone who can see, look, I have spaghetti arms, and I'm still 83 kilos. Like, where is it? I know you can't see below, like, halfway up my chest, but there's not a lot down here either. There's not much here. I'm a thin person. Okay? So...
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
You know, I think my body fat's around 8%.
Mm. That's so good.
It's not that good for losing weight. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, I could do a year, see if I can, get some good international medals, ITF. Mm. But then going back to my big passion, which you know about, is my fight choreography and on screen and acting. I've been doing a bit of amateur acting. I should be hopefully doing a bit more amateur acting soon with, maybe, what's he called? So he's one of the other Mr. Olympias who's done some acting stuff. Mike something. He's got the most Mr. Olympia titles.
Like, oh, right.
He's got like 5 or something.
Wow.
I met him last week.
Oh, cool.
Actually, we might be doing the same. He's been in Gladiator and a few other bits and pieces.
Right, cool.
And then he's kind of living fairly locally now, to me, like in the southwest of England.
Mm.
There's a thing. There was something he wanted to do, and I was like, I might be doing it. Oh, okay, I might see you there, sort of thing. It's like I'm going through bodybuilders at the moment.
Yeah. So, like, put a bit of weight on.
Yeah.
And sort of give it a go in the fight choreography world, or sort of stunt work.
Yeah, fight choreography, stunt work, yeah. Already started.
Wicked, yeah. Wicked. Well, best of luck with that,
thank you,
man.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting.
Mm.
Hopefully. Don't forget me about me when you're a big movie star. Otherwise I'll be knocking on your door.
If you can find it, in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. You wouldn't have made it if you hadn't done my Talk TV podcast. You owe me.
I would like to work with, like, biggest inspiration, Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting a bit older now, but I still would like to work with him.
Yeah.
I would like to work again with Lou. That'd be good. He's a cool guy.
Excellent. Oh, best of luck. So, like, are you doing specific training for that, or kind of to the skills that you already have, I just spin around and throw some kicks and they're happy, or?
It's a weird one, because you can do kind of film courses in university,
mm-hmm.
but they don't always lead you in the right direction.
Okay.
Or you can do a, kind of what, where I am now and just kind of build on your skills by doing like some amateur stuff. Like I did a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, right.
I'm looking to do Pride and Prejudice, I think it is, at the end of the year.
Wow. Well, like sort of local productions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wicked.
Yeah, so like doing that for the acting, things like that. So I'm learning a lot acting-wise.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I'm doing film stuff. Like, I did a couple weeks ago, I did a film called Instant Death with Lou Ferrigno.
Wicked.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that. Make sure you buy that one.
Plug. When this goes live, so I put out on iTunes. Like, if you send me any links, I'll put them on there. Yeah, you guys can check out any of Danny's stuff.
And you can watch me fall down the stairs.
Excellent.
Well, get thrown down the stairs by Hulk, basically. Well,
there you go.
Yeah. So that's kind of the route I'm taking, where I'm just kind of going for on hand. Mm-hmm. Sort of it. Just yeah.
Just getting the experience.
Yeah, it literally was a case of, like, I knew the director because I'd done a short film with him before, so he knew kind of that I could do a bit.
Yeah.
So he asked me to do this, the thing with Lou Ferrigno, and kind of got there, and then it was like, can anyone do any stunts? We want someone to do a stairfall. So I'll do it. Yeah. You know? So put a little thing on to protect the back, a couple elbow pads, and then. Went down the stairs about 3 times. Yeah. That was my day.
Nice.
Sorry. That's good times.
Yeah. Excellent. And was that like a professional job? Did you get paid for that?
No. Well, it will be released kind of professionally, you know, on DVD or whatever.
Right.
But it
that's more of a foot in the door type gig.
Pretty much no one on that set was paid for what they did. Right, there were two professional stunt workers there.
Okay.
One of them did a high fall off about 4-story building.
Okay.
And he wasn't paid for his time there. It was kind of like it was a CV builder for everybody.
Yeah.
Even Lou, it was a CV builder for him. Wow. See, he's not done any action.
Well, okay.
He did a family sitcom recently.
Yeah.
That he's been doing for the past few years, I think. But he's not done action.
Yeah.
So this is him stepping into the action.
Getting into the.
Everyone, like even the people at the top, like sometimes they do things you might not see it, you might not know about it, but you know it's all.
Yeah. We're sacrificed. That's it. On the road.
On the road again.
Have you considered singing?
No.
That's a shame. Maybe I know.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, wicked. So you've quite a diverse sort of couple of years.
It's been good.
Then going through for the acting stuff. That's very different.
It's interesting. Yeah, I find normal is too close to boring, and I don't like boring.
Yeah.
So it was like growing up watching the Jackie Chan stuff. I like this. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as that. Like, there was no other thought behind it. It was just that.
Yeah.
Just, I like this. I want to be involved. You see, it's like, oh, you see that guy got hit by the ladder in Strikeforce? Yeah, I want to be that guy. I want to do that. I want to help choreograph. I want to do this. I like the way, you know, I just drink it and I love it. I think everybody in life finds that thing that they love.
Yeah.
And they can just obsess over it and not get bored of it.
Yeah.
For me, it's the screen, like the fight choreography. Yeah. I can just watch hours of it.
Yeah, you do a lot of research. Digest it.
Yeah. So it's like drinking a fine scotch. It's like, yes. Oh, no.
yeah, definitely. I know what you mean. When you find that passion.
When you find that one thing, yeah.
And I think, like, when you find that thing, like, it's, like, money kind of becomes less significant.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah. No, I am constantly broke.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Me too, brother, me too. But it's the thing, I like doing what I do. I'm never going to be a millionaire. Like, I'm never going to have, like, a
million Bugatti.
Never have a £1 million house and a yacht and stuff like that. Oh. But I would much rather live my life and, you know, do what I do and be happy.
Hell yeah.
Than, you know, do something that you hate for 8 hours a day.
Oh, God, yeah.
But come home to a big old empty hollow house.
Yeah. With about 10 rare cats that you've shipped in.
Sit in my rocking chair, just like, Everyone I used to like martial arts.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I feel like I'm in an alright place at the moment. Like, obviously leaving the academy, leaving the Olympic stuff was really hard.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, for me it was like I could see why I didn't really want to leave, but staying wasn't really an option.
Yeah.
So leaving, and it was like coming, like living in Manchester is such an amazing city. Like I love Manchester now. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And I've come back to Exeter and I'm just like, ugh. You know? But I've kind of learned to kind of start embracing it and look at the positives and look at what I'm getting. And yeah, I agree that, you know, the money thing. But I, to do that Lou Ferrigno and stuff, right? After I did the stunt I did, the guy behind the camera, who's another really well-known stunt guy, he was like, right, I want you back on Monday because you can do stunts.
Excellent.
So I want you back. I was like, all right, okay, I'll come back. Yeah. So I phoned up work. And I'm like, look, they want me to come back. I've got to come back, you know.
Yeah.
We can't afford not to have you, like, in for work.
Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Yeah.
So I didn't turn up Monday, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday, I go into work. We have a meeting. Okay. I got fired from my job.
Wow.
Okay. I went back up to do more filming, so I had a few more wide shot stunts I could do on the Wednesday. Okay. Coming back, I ran out of all money. I was like, had like no money to my name. I'd lost my job, I had no money to my name, but I would not have changed it for anything because it was what I was like, I'm doing a film with Lou Ferrigno, like, I don't even care.
Like, LTD, live the dream, brother.
Yeah, man, like, and I feel like I'm in a good place. Like, I got a girlfriend that supports me a lot, like, nice. She's always really happy, you know, with the stuff I do.
It's important.
She actually, I'd say she gets it, she didn't.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a learning curve. Yeah. Like
she sure? Gonna learn today.
Yeah, no, like it is really tricky when, particularly when, you know, when you're obsessed with something, like, you know, we both are, like our passion since we were little kids.
If you find a girlfriend that doesn't do taekwondo and you love taekwondo, man, you're gonna be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, but like it's not everyone can do that. Yeah. Not everyone can have a boyfriend like us.
No. You know? Like,
you know, like the amount of the danger is
danger
that like, sorry, I'm speaking quite generically.
He's got like five sentences coming out at once, and they're
these are my own opinions that I personally. But
send your hate mail to Phil, mommy.
It's you know, a lot of girls that don't have that kind of passion, that thing that, you know, your life is about. They, you know, they want those evenings in, the Sunday nights and the time and stuff like that. And that's absolutely fine, like, if you're that way inclined as well. But like, when you don't have that and you can't have that, and I find like a lot of girls, like, when you first start going out, and they're like, no, it's fine, you go do your fighting, like, it's so cool, they kind of want to like walk in on fight day like arm in arm, this is my man, but they don't want to put up with the hours of fact that, yes, like, do have those great moments where you get to work, walk in on arm and stuff like that. I have to train, like, 3 hours
a
day.
It's not a secret anymore that, well, like, at one point people did just kind of almost watch the boxer go out into the ring, do his fight and go. It's like, wow, that's a good job.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see the 8 hours a day,
five
days a week that he puts in behind the scenes, like, working his ass off. Like, they don't see that. But now everyone pretty much knows that.
Yeah.
Now, I would hope. Yeah. Everyone pretty much knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the work and the time and stuff like that. I mean, and particularly, you know, for like ITF fighters, that, like, it's not professional. We don't get paid. Like,
it's like, what are you doing?
You don't
understand. So I have to fight.
Yeah, this is it. But yeah, it's your calling. And that's it. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And you're very lucky to find somebody that can support you.
Well, you know what, the
and
crunch,
be patient as well, like that. I'm lucky like that.
The defining evening, should we say, that it was, right? And I hope, if she sees this, I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning this, right?
Yeah.
So she's out at, like, walkabout, and you know, she's like, oh, I really want to see you, just come out for one drink. And I'm like, I got training at 9.
Sort of thing.
She's please, just one drink. And I'm like, all right, I'll come out one drink and then I'm gone, okay? And she's like, all right, okay, that's fine. Because I do have to be up for training, right? Yeah. So I get there, one drink, and then she's like, oh, one more. And I'm like, nope. Oh, go on, one more. And then I just went. I just left. And then, so it was almost like, it was up to her to either realize or not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Luckily she did.
Yeah. She thinks you're worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am, so.
Sure.
Yeah, Beth, oh my God, really.
Get out now.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm joking. Love you. You're a very lucky, lucky lady. But yeah, no, that's wicked that you've got, yeah, and yeah, it is a learning curve, and it does, you know, you have those moments where it's like, come on, I want to see, it's like, no, I can't, I've got this, I've got to do it, and as you say, if they love you, and they, you know, they really support you, like, they respect that, and they, you know, I'm the opposite, my partner's like, Phil, you need to go to bed now, you've got training in the morning.
Really, that's
yes,
awesome.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, she's on me, like, it's on me. Yeah, she's like, you need to eat more vegetables and stuff like that. I'm like, yes, dear. that's
which
perfect,
is such a turnaround, because I remember, right, and hope you don't mind me mentioning this story.
Oh, God.
This is a good
one. Oh, no.
Back when you were maybe, I don't know, I think you must have been, how old are you now, 28, 29?
27,
my bad.
Cheeky kid.
Back when maybe, you must have been probably about my age, actually, about 23, right? And you were kind of in the dating game, you say. And I remember you telling me. I remember
you know too much.
I remember you telling me you went out on a date, but you got there about an hour early, and you took with you the encyclopedia of Taekwondo and read it while you were waiting for your date to turn up. You spent the whole day just pretty much talking about Taekwondo, and for some reason, I don't know why, you didn't see her again.
That is not true.
That is so true.
It was Stuart Anslow's Taekwondo Hosin Soul that I was reading up on.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It, yeah. Okay.
Connor and I reading, yeah. And then like...
Who does that?
She turned up and she's like, oh, what are you reading? And I'm like, what is a Taekwondo book? He's like, oh, do you do Taekwondo?
No.
Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
No.
I wasn't that bad of a day, but... Do you know what I mean? But it's hard though, isn't it? Because it's like, what do you do? Taekwondo. They're like, all right, what do you do in your free time?
Taekwondo.
My what?
Yeah.
Your free time.
Free time is Taekwondo.
No end to end or. I don't
it's
understand.
Like, free time is Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Profession is Taekwondo.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm alright. I'm like a hobby. Whore, almost, right? I don't know how PC this podcast
it's
is.
Supposed to be legit, but it's alright, don't worry.
But in the context, that's the correct word, right?
Okay.
So yeah. I went in 2010, I went to the Pokemon World Championships for cards, right? So I played Pokemon trading card game for about 8 years.
Mm.
And I ran the only fighting game tournament in Exeter, or in Devon actually, there's ever been. As far as I know, there's never been another one. I set that up. I got in touch with the
tech.
I got in touch with the developers of the games and like got support in and all that. Yeah, so I did I did an okay job. You know?
Yeah.
So because I love my video games. I mean, I've had Metal Gear Solid 5 for about a week and about 45 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. So, So I have other things, but on the flip side, it's none of it is good for talking with a girlfriend. So I have like 2, 3, maybe 4 hobbies that I cannot relate to girls.